here on 590 WKZO. It is 75 degrees in Kalamazoo and 308. And that means that you are locked in for another couple of hours. Really, it's not that much to ask, if just to have you hang out and chat with us today. You know, we're going to be talking about, we meant to get to sexism in politics and something that that Hillary Clinton said in reference to Sarah Palin. We meant to get to that yesterday and didn't get the opportunity because we were deeply engaged in the discussions that we were yesterday. So we're going to try to get to that today. Also, would like to talk a little bit about part-time legislature. It may be dead for now, but does it have a life in the future? Organizers of the effort seem to think so, but what do you think about it? We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. As with any topic that we are talking about, you can feel free to call in and talk with us, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. 4280-80373 is the texting number if you would like to text us and get in on the conversation that way. That is one way to do it. Of course, we do prefer to have you call in and be a part of the program that way. Now, a couple of things that I want to mention to you. If you want to be a hero to your kids or your grandkids or somebody else's kids, hopefully you know them. Anyway, if you want to be a hero to any one of them, we've got tickets for How to Train Your Dragon 2. This one's coming out on Friday, and we got a couple of tickets to go see that at Celebration Cinema Portage. I would love to hand them to you right now. I know you're just dying. You're reaching out going, Jeremy, drop them right here. Give them to me. I'd like to. I really would. But because we happen to have a producer here who likes to talk with you on the phone, he likes to have an excuse to talk with you on the phone. Therefore, he's probably going to ask you some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. I don't know. Usually it's pretty simple, but he still feels the need to do this. So we're going to be doing that a little bit later on in the program. Of course, as always, you'll be chatting with Michael, who is here again today.
Hello, this is Michael Loudon.
There you go. See, now I introduced you that time. You didn't have to say your name, but you know.
Well, the other day you wanted me to say my name.
Well, see, I keep changing the rules. You got to keep up with it. That's, you know, if you're not anticipating my every move, then, you know.
It's hard to do that.
Particularly when I'm changing direction on you. But anyway, so that ticket giveaway coming up sometime in the next couple of hours, and we look forward to having you as a part of that. Also, our video of the day, if you have yet to check this out today, this is one of those, what we love to do with videos of the day is either make you laugh or just take your breath away. And this one, the video for today, fits into that second category. Contestant on America's Got Talent, Anna Clendenning. She is somebody that suffers from a depression and an anxiety disorder that she says that a few months ago she was bedridden, could not leave her room. And she showed up on America's Got Talent and did a rendition of that song, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. That just, I mean, it will absolutely move you to tears. You got to check this out. It's our video of the day. It's at WKZO.com in the blog section. That is right down below the news section. You'll be able to check that out there. And also, if you are hooked up with us on Facebook, as our 1,900 of our closest friends, you'll get that right there in your news feed. And if you're not, well, what's wrong with you? Come on. No, seriously.
Go and like us.
Seriously. It's a simple thing. You go like us on Facebook. In fact, we provide a link for you at WKZO.com. You can click on it, and there you go. It's just that simple. You go there, boom, like us, you're done. It's real simple, and we'd love to have you on board with us. All right. The part-time legislature. You remember that was one of the things that people were moving on. And we thought, well, this was going to be one of those things that there was going to be a ballot proposal. There was going to be something that we were all going to get to vote on. The idea of a part-time legislature. It was getting as much attention, a few months ago anyway, as the minimum wage efforts that took place. Well, we fast forward to now, and the organizers are saying, well, we really had too much ground to cover, too few volunteers, and too short of a time frame. So not going to happen this year. Might put it off till 2016, which is an interesting year to select to do that. Because you get, you know, presidential election and that kind of thing. Interesting that they would choose to do that. Now, here's the thing. They said, you know, there was interest. There were signatures pouring in. But they're basically blaming the cold winter and the problem of not being able to get out until much later to collect those signatures as something that was limiting them. Also, they had a limit in terms of funding that they had. So they said they're going to come back in 2016, give it a try again, really try and get started on it earlier, if at all possible. Now, what their proposal would have done is it would have limited legislative salaries to $35,000 a year. Currently, legislators make around $71,000 a year. What that proposal also would have done would have forced lawmakers to leave town after 60 days and cut legislative staffs to 250 people. Now, basically, it would cut it back to, all right, if you're elected here, you're only here just a little bit of the time. 60 days to be able to get things done. I mean, look at the road funding, you know, hubbub, I don't know, brouhaha, whatever you want to call it. Look at what they've done with that. I mean, it feels like it's been 90 days that we've been talking about this.
And they didn't get it done either.
And they haven't done anything.
No.
Now, apparently, they did pass a few things.
Okay.
There were a couple of bills that they went, okay, well, we'll push this and we'll push that through, and that one's okay. But they did not, and this will be applause from everyone, I think, they did not raise fuel taxes. And I think that's one of those things where you go, you know, I just assumed with, since they got something done on minimum wage, and I felt like that one was more controversial, that this was sort of a no-brainer. So I'm a little surprised they didn't get it done. But that said, we've still got the rest of tonight. So anything is possible. It could still happen. Stranger things have happened. I mean, after all, in the last few days, Eric Cantor lost his election in Virginia. No one expected that. I mean, this is one of the House Republican leaders. So anything is possible. This could happen in the Senate yet. However, the package involving, you know, well, we might do a sales tax increase, which would have meant a vote of the people. That went down. The increase in terms of fuel tax, that went down to defeat. I mean, they tried three or four different ways, and it just did not work. So, yeah, 60 days, well, yeah, maybe you want to toy with that a little bit, because things like this, controversial things, you want to have some time to be able to look at it. That said, though, I think it's an interesting idea. And you know, I mean, you look at this, you're talking about basically saving 50% on salaries right off the top. A 50% cut in salaries because these people aren't going to be working quite as often. I guess I want to find out from you what you thought about the proposal. If you think it has a life beyond now, obviously they didn't get enough signatures. But do you think it's got a life beyond right now? Do you think 2016 they're able to come back and get this thing done? They said there was an awful lot of support around it, grassroots support. People that said, yeah, you know what, I'm interested in that. Apparently, though, they weren't able to get enough signatures to be able to do this. They were trying to gather around 400,000 signatures, a little bit over that, so that they had enough cushion there to be able to get on the ballot. But they said, well, they really should have been out in January with petition language. Didn't happen until late March, so they didn't have enough time to really go with it. So they're saying it's the weather. It's that they were a little late. Maybe next time. Better luck next time. They seem confident that, you know, okay, 2 years, we'll be back at it. We'll get this thing done. And they seem confident based on that, you know, they didn't really raise a whole lot of money to get this done. They only raised $18,000 for the effort, and yet they still got petitions in. But what do you think about it? Do you think the idea of a part-time legislature works? Or do you think maybe we ought to toy with the idea a little bit to just, you know, maybe, all right, instead of 60 days, maybe 90 days or something like that, to where, all right, you've got a little bit of time to play with, and that way, if you've got, say, a special session or something you have to call later, you've still got a few days you can work with here or there. You know, well, we got something we need to consider. Special session. Let's get everybody back together. Because that can happen. That can happen from time to time if the state faces some sort of a major problem. But do you think it makes sense to have the legislature part-time, or should they continue in the situation that they are now? Now, they're each making $71,000 a year. Now, we've term limited, so we've got people moving in and out of these positions. The House is completely different. Now, what is it, every 6 years or something like that? It's totally different. New people, new blood. Senate's the same way, you know. So we got it to the point where there's new people in and out all the time. But do you think that's enough? Do you think we need to... Yeah, and for some people, they would say, you know, it's the whole idea of the government that governs best governs least. And if they're there 60 days, they can't do much harm. But then if you've got debates like the roads debate, where they're talking about how to fund roads and how to fund repairs, do we raise taxes, do we do this, do we do that? In that situation, do you have some sort of a provision there for a special session? I think these are honest questions. And when you're debating things like this, you know, you've got to be able to have some sort of a framework worked out to say, all right, we want to do this. Here's how it looks. Here's what it looks like. Here's what we want to get done. And, you know, getting things done along those lines, yeah, you got to have that framework. You've got to be able to say, all right, here's how it works. 60 days, you can call an additional special session. You've got to have the approval of the governor. You get another 15 days, that kind of thing. So that way you're not going, all right, we didn't get things done. All right, 15 more days. Okay. And then you cut that down. Here's another thought. Maybe this helps with the road funding and that kind of thing. Maybe if you do this, you take the money that went to all of these salaries and put it towards roads.
And then that's what I was thinking. Where's all this money going to go? You know, and I was thinking, yeah, put it toward roads. That would be a great solution right there.
Now, it wouldn't fund all the money that we're looking at.
Understood,
that we need.
Yes.
But it'd be a little bit of a chunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, you know, the idea of, okay, we cut down the legislative staff to 250 people. That's total for the legislature. So that might save you a little bit because you got salaries and benefits and things like that that you're paying for there that you don't have to. So maybe you put that towards roads. I don't know. But maybe that's an interesting idea. I don't know. Give us a call. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73 is the number for texting. If you are just not in a spot where you really think you could chat with us or wait on the phone for very long, texting is the way to go. But you know what? We'd love to chat with you on the phone as well. And that's the thing. Even if you disagree, because, you know, on this program, if you've listened by now, you know, I will come out and tell you what I think. I'm not shy about it. That's probably just as well. But even if you disagree, this is a conversation. This is not a Jeremy's always right. He is, but we won't talk about it. Seriously. If you want to defend your ideas, defend your side of this, maybe you're totally against this. Say, you know what? No, full-time legislature. There's a lot of benefits to it. Or if you're for anything that I'm against or against anything I'm for, whatever. Give us a call. Defend your side of it. I will certainly let you do that. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, 803-73 via text. You know, I do see the appeal of a part-time legislature because it gives people that are in the legislature the idea that, you know what, this is not your permanent job. This is not that thing that you're going to do for the rest of your life. Personally, I think term limits already say that, but it gives them an idea that, you know what? Yeah, I've got to have something else that I can do to fund things. The other part of it, though, is working it out so that, yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to have some sort of a portion of this that protected people with their employers, so that people that were running for the legislature that were legislators, they automatically, by state law, get 60 days out to be able to do their job in the legislature. And they come back, their job's there. And just some various thoughts about it. Still, though, I think, you know, we talk about, well, what did they get done this year? They didn't get road funding done. Well, okay, they got some things done. Let's face it, the state Senate and House have probably gotten more done than Congress on a federal level has gotten done. Simply because it seems like, you know, these two houses seem to be able to put together bipartisan initiatives and that kind of thing, and they tend to be able to come up with some stuff that they want to do. But I still think there is a lot more that state reps and you know, state senators and their offices do that I think you almost kind of need that full-time legislature. That's just kind of my angle on it. That said, I can see the appeal of it. And I could see why people were interested in that. I could see why people would be interested in it in 2016. So certainly interesting as we move ahead. All right. Now, we do have a break coming up. Before we get to that, though, we're going to take a timeout for traffic. And for that, we go to Michael.
Yes. So one traffic tip to pass along. Traffic is backed up on M89 east and westbound between 4th and 8th Street. And that's at the Allegan County, Kalamazoo County border. Traffic is down to one lane due to construction in that area.
Okay, so construction traffic in that area, seeking an alternate route, that might not be a bad idea. Well, coming up, you know what? We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton and sexism in politics. She had some interesting things to say involving Sarah Palin and the 2008 campaign. We'll share them with you. Coming up. -77 degrees in Kalamazoo. This portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show is brought to you by Comerica Bank. Raise your expectations of what a bank could be when it's time. Come to Comerica. And we continue talking with you about various things. I wanted to turn my attention to an article, and we'll spend a little bit time further on in the show talking about this one, because Hillary Clinton talked with ABC News and talked a little bit about something that was asked of her in the 2008 campaign. This was just after she had suspended her campaign for president. And, you know, as obvious, the Obama campaign, those they were going to be the Democratic choice. And then word came out that Sarah Palin was John McCain's choice as running mate. And according to what Hillary Clinton says in her new book that she released, they asked her to come out against Sarah Palin. And she had some interesting comments on that. And I definitely want to share those as we move a little bit further along, because I think it's illustrative of some things that had happened then. It's illustrative of some things that Hillary thinks now that I don't know are necessarily true. I don't know. It'll be interesting as we get here a couple of years in advance. We see if Hillary decides, yes, I am running again, or no, I don't think so. Honestly, I think it could go either way. An awful lot of people think it's inevitable. I'm not so sure. I mean, she's releasing a book. I think that's sort of the testing of the waters, if you will. But I think she's still kind of like, well, all right, I'm going to be a grandmother. I don't know if I want to do this. You know, 4 years, 8 years in the White House. Jeez, that's a lot. We'll talk a little bit further about this. She had some interesting things to say about it and came to a rather surprising conclusion, I thought. We'll share that a little bit later. Going to be talking weather with somebody from AccuWeather here in a little bit. All of that straight ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. .339, it is 77 degrees at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. And at this particular time, you know, we always try and have a conversation about just what we're facing in the forecast and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I'm seeing in the forecast, and I hope it continues to be true, is I'm seeing lowering humidity in the forecast. That's always nice to hear. And to find out whether or not that's going to be still in the forecast, let's chat up Carl Erickson from AccuWeather. Carl, hi.
Well, hello there.
So I'm seeing lower humidity in the forecast. Is that going to stick with us?
Yes, it is, actually. That is coming in here tonight. Maybe still a very brief shower over the next couple of hours, but it looks like most of us stay dry. But behind that, as we head deeper into this evening and tonight, that drier air coming on in, making it feel a little bit more comfortable out there, and a little bit cooler, too. Looks like most of us dip down, well down into the lower 50s tonight.
So tonight, as things start to cool off a little bit, might be good outdoor fitness weather, you think?
Yeah, sure, if that's what you're into, I guess, for this evening. And even tomorrow and Saturday, it looks like lots of sunshine both of those days. Hardly a cloud in the sky, it looks like, both of those days. And really no chance for rainfall, upper 60s as we go through tomorrow. And then a little bit nicer into Saturday, well up into the 70s, even close to 80 into the afternoon.
Sounds fantastic. All right, so with the weather coming up that we've got, we usually have our weather person prepares a word for us. So what word have you prepared for us today?
Humdrum. And I picked that word for today because what's been going on today, it's very boring out there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It is pretty I was out earlier. It was sort of that average day.
Yeah.
Kind of dull, you know.
Yeah, just kind of put you to sleep. So
Now you mentioned through Saturday we're looking at some pretty nice temperatures and that kind of thing. Does that hold through Sunday and Monday then?
It does, yeah. It warms up into Sunday, mid-80s. Perhaps a little bit of an increase in the humidity, but not too bad. That'll really kick into full force early next week. And just in time to go back to work, well, that's when the rain comes. Lots of thunderstorms around both Monday and Tuesday. But at least right now, both Saturday and Sunday look pretty good. And it looks dry and comfortably warm.
Okay. So as people are starting to kind of plan their weekends, might be good to do some outdoor stuff.
That's right.
All right. Carl, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, have a nice evening.
All right. Carl Erickson there with AccuWeather, filling in for Bob Larson, he doesn't get to vacation. He got to sit through a meeting today. So I know.
Poor Bob.
There's just so much envy of Bob's position there that, you know, I could be on the air doing the weather or I could be sitting through a meeting. So I feel for him. I really do.
I know which one I would choose.
Yeah. Talk about the weather. That sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Well, one thing that you can do this weekend that, might be an activity for you. If you're not into outdoor activities, it might be an indoor activity instead. And that would be going to a movie. You think that'd be a good idea?
I think that'd be a great idea.
You know, but I tell you know what would make it even better? What would make it so much better going to a movie is if somebody picked up the cost of a couple of tickets.
No, I believe we can do that.
Can we?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we can right here in my hand. Amazing. I forgot what was in my hand. got a couple of tickets here for How to Train Your Dragon 2. That is the sequel to that animated movie that came out from DreamWorks a couple of years ago. This comes out Friday. Pay no attention to the date, Friday the 13th. It's just coming out. See, Michael had to look. What? Friday the 13th?
Oh, no.
But no, it's coming out tomorrow in theaters. We got a couple of tickets for you to be able to see it at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And I'd like to give them away right now. So what we're going to do is, you're ready over there, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell by that smile you're ready. Okay. I thought for sure I had him because I was going to say, what we're going to do is have you call and you can just claim him. But no, we got more. So here's what we need to do. Need to have you call us if you want to be in for these tickets, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Also, 803-73 is the number for texting. Oh, you can't win tickets that way. I'm reflexively giving it out. How about that? Sorry, if you want to text us, you're going to have to call us this time. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And I'm hoping you'll forget.
Nope, I'm not going to forget.
All right, you're going to have to answer this dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. I'm going to just go collect myself over here.
Okay. Anyways, this weekend is the U.S. Open, and it's being played at Pinehurst number 2. So the question revolves around that. What golfer won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2 back in 1999? And if you have to go to your computer and type it in Google, that's completely fine.
Okay, question one more time.
What golfer won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2 back in 1999?
Okay, any hints?
He's not Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson.
Okay. All right. I don't know the answer to this one. I can't drop any hints, so go ahead and give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280 if you're texting. Sorry, you know what? We'll have to do it that way sometime, just let you text after the tickets sometime. We'll have to do that. Figure out if we can do that sometime. That would be absolutely fun. All right, we're going to continue talking about sexism in the 2008 campaign. Hillary Clinton brought it up in her book. We'll chat a little bit more about it as we continue ahead. Yep, still warm out there, 78 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. And Jeremy Lawrence here with you on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Well, we had an occasion to be able to give away tickets. Tickets to a movie. Not just any movie, mind you, but How to Train Your Dragon 2. Certain to make you a hero in the eyes of any kid that you would take, or open-minded adults, for that matter, that enjoy a good animated film. I know Michael's one of those guys.
Oh, I definitely am.
You're all about the animated movies there, all right? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Good to know, definitely. But somebody won these tickets by knowing the answer to the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. I think this one probably falls in the category of ridiculous. Nevertheless, there was a question and there was an answer. What was the question?
The question was, what golfer won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2 back in 1999?
Okay, I'm going to say Arnold Palmer because that's the only one I can think of.
No, sorry, it was not Arnold Palmer.
Davis Love III.
Nope.
Bob Jordan. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say Bob Hope for a second.
Yeah, Bob Hope. Why not?
No, it wasn't any of them. It was the late Payne Stewart who won.
Payne Stewart, of course. Yes.
And he defeated Phil Mickelson by one shot, made a birdie on hole number 18.
Okay. All right. There you go. And who is it that gets to take you to the movie? I mean, that gets to go to the movies this weekend?
Linda from Paw Paw.
Okay. You didn't beg Linda to go with her, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know.
No, I'm not that kind of guy. They can take whoever they want.
Yeah, of course.
They want to take me. That's their choice.
Of course. Your fiance might frown on that anyway,
yeah.
I have a feeling. So anyway, congratulations, Linda. You are under no obligation at all to take Michael to the movies with you. He can take himself. Thank you very much. So, see, it's probably good you weren't laughing in the middle. He was just taking a drink of his Gatorade. So, you know, that's, yeah.
That would have been a mess.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least we know who to blame for it this time. So, all right.
Me.
Of course. Well, we blame you for everything around here. You know, it just happens.
Even when I'm not here?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, gosh.
You apparently have not seen the document we hand around, Michael's blame list, you know.
Oh, that hasn't fell into my hands yet.
Yeah. Let's see. So far, hemlines and the state of the economy are on there. So,
oh, great.
So, you know, sorry. We got to blame somebody. And, you know, apparently we can't blame Obama for it. So, you know, you're on the list.
Okay.
Just the way it is. I mean, that's what we got to do. So, anyway. Well, Hillary Clinton has been saying an awful lot lately. She wrote a book because, as you recall, they were so broke and desperate that they couldn't afford their houses and college education for Chelsea and blah, 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 yada, yada. Anyway, she's written another book. Honestly, I think this one is more about sticking the toe in the water and going, oh, let's see, would this be okay for a presidential campaign? I don't know. That's why the book is coming out. You know that. I mean, Mitt Romney did that before he ran, not this past time, the time before last. He had written a book. So it happens. I don't know if Barack Obama wrote a book or not. I think he started a book, but he didn't finish it. Ran out of crayons, you know. So that's, anyway. But Hillary Clinton in talking about the 2008 presidential campaign, she said in her book that President Obama's campaign engaged in what she called sexist behavior by asking her to attack former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin because she was a woman. Well, she still is a woman for that matter, I suppose, too. But she says, and this was on Good Morning America on ABC, she says, that very first day the Obama campaign said, we want you to go out and criticize her. Go out and criticize her, she says, for what? For being a woman? No, let's wait until we know where she stands, Clinton said, she recalled saying at the time. She described the exchange a little bit further in her book, Hard Choices. And there's a little bit of an excerpt of that, believe it or not, Sarah Palin herself quoted on Twitter. And we'll share that here in a little bit. Now, Hillary, when asked if she felt like the climate was different now for a woman running for president, she says, I think it's different for women across the board. It's not just in the political sphere that we continue to have these obstacles to women's full participation. She says the American public has much greater awareness now of the double standard. And truly, there was, I think, a double standard looking back. You know, think about, you know, truthfully, when, you know, it was Hillary, it was like, all right, well, you know, Hillary, they asked her the tough questions a whole bit. And Senator Obama, are you comfortable in your chair? Why, yes. Yes, I am. Yes.
That is such a hard question to answer.
You know, it's just tough. I mean, you know, it felt like the media was fawning all over. I don't know that it was necessarily a sexist thing when it came to Hillary. But that said, think about how much attention the media paid to Sarah Palin. Oh, what is she wearing today? Who cares?
Does she have enough makeup on? Is her hair parted the right way?
How is her hair? Look at those glasses. Wow. You know. It was amazing to me that they went through all of that. I think there was a bit of a standard there because they weren't going to necessarily look at Joe Biden and go, okay, what designer suit is Joe Biden wearing today? You know, because you knew Joe Biden probably was wearing, you know, a JCPenney special edition or something. Not that that's a bad thing. That's my first selection in suits right there, you know, because I'm cheap. But, you know, they weren't sitting there, oh, gee, how is Joe Biden's hair done today? You know,
combed.
Like he got up and he combed it. You know, what's he wearing today? A suit? Next? You know,
does he have a watch on?
Yes. Next. Did he take Amtrak? Yes. Next. You know, so I think there was a bit of a double standard there. I'm not so sure that I agree with her that things are totally different. We're not that far removed from that. I think if you're talking about 1984, Walter Mondale chose Geraldine Ferraro as his running mate. Yeah, that would be way different than what we were then as to now. If we're talking about that kind of a time frame of difference. We're talking about 2008 when the current president was first elected. And we're talking about, most of us can remember that first reaction of going, McCain, Palin? Who? What? Who is this? What? Who is she? Alaska? That's a state? Okay, we didn't go that far. But, you know, there was that sense of going, who is this person? You know, I think we all had that. Now, there's an interesting thing, and she goes through in her book, and Hillary does, and makes mention in this one particular segment. She said, you know, after McCain had chosen Sarah Palin, she says, a resounding who echoed across the nation. We would all get to know her in the coming months, but at that point, she was near complete unknown, even to political junkies. The Obama campaign suspected that her nomination was a blatant attempt to scuttle their hope of welcoming the women who had vigorously supported me. This is from Hillary Clinton's book. They immediately issued a dismissive statement and reached out to me in hopes I would follow suit. But I wouldn't. I was not going to attack Palin just for being a woman, appealing for support from other women. I didn't think that made political sense, and it didn't feel right. Interestingly enough, and, you know, I'm sure she said things differently about Sarah Palin after that, but at that point, basically defending Sarah Palin. Interesting. And Sarah Palin brings this up on Twitter, and she says, look who fired the first shot in the real war on women. Hint, it wasn't the GOP. See this excerpt from Hillary's book. And, of course, Hillary Clinton, in responding to that tweet, says, well, that's not exactly what I said. Okay, Hillary, it's in your book!
It's what you said. It's out there.
It's right there!
It's written down!
Now, basically, what she was saying is that, you know what? Yeah, the Obama people asked me to dismiss her and, you know, just, oh, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to dismiss her. Well, guess what? Yeah, that was kind of a shot. Now, you know, they say this whole war on women thing. And I think it's, I mean, I'm going to call BS on it, quite frankly, because I think it's ridiculous. Nobody is waging a war on women. But I think in some cases, particularly looking back to 2008, there was a definitive bias in terms of media coverage, because it was this whole sense of, Barack Obama, he's wonderful, he's great. What's Hillary wearing? What designer is she wearing? What pantsuit does she have on? What's her hair look like today? And then it turned when Sarah Palin joined the race as John McCain's running mate. What's she wearing? What's her hair look like today? Can you believe she has five kids? How does she have time for that? You know, so I think there was that bias in the media. I don't know that there's this whole war on women, though, and that kind of thing. I think that's just kind of silly, really. But it's brought up all the time. I thought it interesting, though, that Hillary brought it up. I thought it interesting that in her book, she pretty well, while she doesn't defend Sarah Palin, she just says, look, I'm not going after her because she's a woman. That's it. I'm not doing that. She says eventually, you know, Team Obama came along and, well, sent out a little message congratulating her. So it took them a little while, but they came around, sort of. Found it interesting. Figured we wanted to chat about that. We're going to chat next hour about more things. Obamacare is on the table again. Somebody had an interesting article. We'll talk about it. Take your phone calls as well as we continue. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.